May all my speaking and all our hearing be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know the most famous story Jesus ever told, the story of the prodigal son. It ends at the end of Luke chapter 15. But I wonder what you think happened the morning after that great party. Can you imagine the scene? Imagine yourself in the sandals of the prodigal son. You wake up in the father's household. You look around. The room is just the way it was when you had left for the far country. You look at your clothes and you realize you still have the father's robe still wrapped around you. And you start to remember his embrace the night before. You look on your finger and there is the ring that he gave you, this symbol that you are back in the family, you are forgiven for free and forever. And groggily you get up from your bed and you start to pad your way towards the kitchen because you can smell the coffee brewing. You see your father there in the kitchen making eggs. It's just the way you remembered it. And the father says to you, "Oh, there you are. Gosh, last night was..." And then he just trails off. He manages, "Last night was something else, wasn't it?" And the son says, "It really was, but Dad, can I just say once again how very, very sorry I am?" But the father just cuts him dead and says, "Nope, we've been through all that. You were lost and now you're found. You're dead and now you're alive. It's been forgiven. It's been forgotten. Sit down and eat your eggs." So they eat their eggs in a companionable silence. And as the father gazes out to the estate, he turns back to his son and he says, "Now, son, what do you want to do today?" That's the question for the Christian. The question for the Christian is, what do we want to do now? Now that we're home. Now that the past is the past. Now that it is all forgiven and forgotten. We have been embraced by Jesus Christ. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. We are celebrated at the heart of heaven. Now what? What do you want to do today? I imagine the son says to his dad, "I don't know, Dad. What do you want to do? What needs doing?" And that's what we say to our Father in heaven. What do you want to do, Father? What needs doing? And in Luke chapter 16, we learn what it is that needs doing in this world. Luke 16 has been written for us as disciples. You'll notice that the story Jesus tells here from Luke 16 verse 1 is told to his disciples. This is now for those who are inside the Father's household. How do we want to live now that we have the Father's embrace, that we have his forgiveness, his reconciling love? Well, Jesus will tell us three things in this passage. What does it look like to live in the Father's household? Actually, it looks like working hard for our Father. Working harder than we ever worked when we were the younger brother. Working harder than the elder brother ever grudgingly slaved. But now it feels like freedom because now we're home. And now we live for three things. We live for friends, we live for the future, and we live for the fountain. Those are the three things Jesus tells us about in this passage. What does life look like in the Father's household? We live for friends, we live for the future, we live for the fountain. What does it mean to live for friends? Well, Jesus tells this very curious story. Did you notice how curious it was as it was being read? He tells this story of a very shrewd man who had lost his job. When you lose your job today in a major corporation, what generally happens is the moment you are made redundant, security will escort you to your desk and they will watch you like a hawk. You are not allowed to go back into your emails. You're not allowed to make any more phone calls. You pack up your possessions in the box that is provided. And security escorts you out of the premises. You hand in your security and you are out on the street never to return again. Why? So that you don't do what this guy does.
What does this guy do? He's been made redundant. He's had the performance appraisal. He's not up to scratch. He's heading out the door. So he just makes one or two more phone calls. He calls a couple of people who owe his master. And he decides that he's going to cancel their debts, or at least significantly reduce them. So in verse 6, he gives the first guy 50% off his bill. The guy must have been thrilled. 50% off. He calls the second guy, verse 7. And he knocks 20% off the bill. He obviously didn't like the second guy quite as much, but still. These two people who owed the master, they must have been over the moon. And you can imagine that they might invite him to their houses afterwards. They might give him a job once he is out the door. And when the master learns about what this shrewd manager has done, you might expect him to go ballistic, but he doesn't. He recognizes a bit of financial nous in this man, and he actually praises him. He has used his master's money in order to gain friends, friends that will last beyond his place at this job. And the moral of the story is, Jesus says, you and I, we are being made redundant. There is a wave of redundancy coming, and we will not escape. We are all headed out the door, all of us. We will all have our performance appraisal, and at some point, the master will tell us, I'm afraid your time in this company is over. And what Jesus says is, on your way out the door, make friends. Make friends that will last beyond this life. And in giving this advice, Jesus is flipping on its head everything that we live for. We tend to try to make money and use friends. And what does Jesus say? Use money, make friends. Make friends that will last. Introduce them to the love of the Savior Jesus. And then, beyond this life, they will invite you into their eternal habitations. They will invite you over for tea in Christ's new creation future. Really, it's the only sound investment to be made. If you had a fund manager, your fund manager would tell you, this is a rock-solid certainty. Investing in any other portfolio is madness when this is on offer. So switch. Use your money to make friends. Make friends so that they will invite you into their houses in Christ's new creation future. Jesus is not saying, live for friends so that God will invite you into his heaven. He's already invited you into his heaven. Heaven's in the bag. That's fine. But he wants you to get invited into your friends' households. He wants them to have Christ's new creation future too. And so the real work of the Christian right now is to make friends. It really is. What is the work of St. Mary? It is to make friends. What is the work of my charity? I run a charity called Speak Life, an evangelistic ministry. And really what we're trying to do is befriend people. Befriend them for now, but really befriend them for eternity. It's really the only thing that is worth investing in. You cannot take it with you. You know that saying, don't you? You can't take it with you. But you can take people with you, apparently. So that's a good investment, don't you think? You can take people with you. So let us not use things. Let's not use people and love things. Let us use things and love people. Let us not use friends and make money. Let us use money and make friends. And so Jesus says we live for friends, and then secondly, he says we live for the future. In verses 10 to 12, Jesus makes a comparison in these three verses, a comparison between now and then. In verse 10, it's the comparison between the very little of this life and much in the next life. That's a perspective shift, isn't it? Look at the richest people on earth. Look at Bill Gates. In the context of eternity, he has very little. Look at the poorest Christian you know. Maybe you are the poorest Christian you know. Okay, look at yourself. In the eyes of eternity, you have much. You are coming into a gargantuan inheritance. So what are we living for? The very little of this world or the much of the future? Are we living for, verse 11, the worldly wealth? Unjust gain? unrighteous mammon, as it used to be in the old King James translation? Are we living for unrighteous mammon? Everything in this economy is, to some degree, tainted by unjust gain. I read a statistic last week that every single £10 note in circulation has cocaine on it after the first 3 weeks in circulation. Every single, I think it's just a symbol of the fact that there is unjust gain out there. Whether it's drugs or something else, in this life there is unjust gain, and we'll never have a pure economy, but there will be true riches coming. So how can we use unrighteous mammon for the sake of eternity? The third comparison in verse 12 is between someone else's property and our own property. Right now, you are managing someone else's property. Did you know that? Every penny in your bank account, every possession in your home is not yours. It's really not. Imagine it all. All your pounds, all your possessions bundled up, and Jesus tending it to you, pressing it into your hands and saying, this is an investment. Use it wisely. Use it to make friends. It's not your own right now. I don't know how you fill out your forms when you go on holiday and they ask you what your profession is. Here's one way that you can say your profession. My profession is a fund manager. I'm a fund manager for Jesus. Every single thing I have is not really mine. One day, we will all sit under our own fig tree and drink from our own vine, as the prophets were always talking about. One day, that really will be our wealth. But right now, it's not. It's been entrusted to us. That's a word that's used 5 times in these 3 verses. We've been entrusted with wealth, and we need to prove trustworthy with it as we seek to live for friends, live for the future, and then finally live for the fountain. The fountain in verses 13 to 15 is Jesus himself. He is this fountain of light and life and blessing. And he runs contrary to the way of this world. You know what the way of this world is? The way of this world is a ladder that you need to climb. You need to get on top, get ahead of the other guy. Have your moment in the sun, and then you tumble down into the grave. That's really the way the world operates. You try to climb. But did you notice in verse 13 and 14, there's a comparison between, Jesus says, you either love God or love money. And then he says in verse 14, the Pharisees did not love Jesus, they loved money. Right? There's a comparison in verse 13 before, love of God and love of money. And in verse 14, Jesus says, yes, it's the comparison between loving Jesus and loving money. And it's a wonderful little parallel by which Jesus is teaching us he is God. The way of God is the way of Jesus. And the way of Jesus is not the way of ladder climbing, is it? The way of Jesus is the way of pouring himself out. And Jesus says, you've got to choose. Pick one. If you go with ladder climbing, then you're going the way of greed, and you're going the way of self-justification. And you might not have a lot of money. I don't think the Pharisees had a lot of money. Nevertheless, verse 14, they loved money. You don't have to have money in order to love money. You don't have to have money in order to try to climb the ladder. But Jesus says, be very aware that as you try to self-justify, as you try to get all you can of this world, you are running against the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is the way of the fountain, the way of pouring himself out. And he says it's really a matter of the heart. What do you love? Do you love the way of this world, the way of the ladder climbing, or do you love the way of Jesus? We tend to think financial matters are just cool and calculating. Jesus says they are matters of the heart. So then as I finish, let me preach to your heart. You're about to be made redundant in this world. All of us are. The performance appraisal is coming. And none of us have handled the funds that Jesus has given us very well. Everything we have, every breath we take has been given to us by Jesus. And we haven't just misspent his money. We've wasted his money, wasted his resources, wasted his talents, and spent them on ourselves. But Jesus is a very different rich man to the one in this story. Jesus is the kind of boss, the kind of rich man who wants to carry the can for you. Who did carry the can for you. He came down, poured himself out on that cross. And on that cross, he was paying off all our debts. Taking onto himself our sin, our unrighteousness, our greed, our self-justification, our foolishness. Takes it all on himself, puts it to death on that cross. And he rises up again and he says, I've taken your debt. Now have my riches. And in his resurrection, he says to us, I am your fountain. And I give to you all things. I give to you eternity. That is in the bag. But I also give to you right now resources. I give to you blessings. I give to you talents. I give to you time. I give to you expertise. And all of those are to be used in order to make friends. So friends, we have wonderful work to do. If you have trusted in Jesus, you are in the Father's household. You are forgiven. You are robed in his love, robed in his righteousness. So now what do you want to do? What do you want to do this week? Well, this week Jesus presses into your hands resources. You have things. Things that Jesus has given to you. And Jesus says, use money. Make friends. This week, we get to live free. We get to live the way of the fountain. This week, we get to give. So let's do that together. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we thank you for the fountain of love and blessing that we have in Jesus. Father, I pray that if there are any here who do not yet know that fountain of love, of blessing, of forgiveness, I pray that they would call out now and know your embrace. I pray that we would all gladly be members of your household, gladly serving in your family business. And I pray, Father, that you would help us all to look at what we have, to look at what has been given to us. Would you help us to use money and make friends? Would you help us to use whatever resources we have and to pour ourselves out in the way of Jesus? For we know this is the way of freedom and this is the way of joy. Whatever decisions we need to make, help us to make them. Whatever prayers we need to pray, help us to pray them. Whatever help we need to offer to people, help us to offer it. But thank you for Jesus. And may we walk in his ways this week. Amen.